This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, we have a very special guest with us today, afternoon.
It's still day. Okay.
It's still day.
The sun is still out. Okay. Yeah, we do. And I'm going to introduce to you Jennifer Anderson, who is now the owner of Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. In the interim, remember, if you have questions when we get into the show body, you can call 673-4464, ask your gardening or landscape question, and I'll give you an answer. But in the meantime, welcome to the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, Jennifer, and you can just kind of say whatever you like.
Whatever I like?
Whatever you like.
Thank you very much, Mike, for having me. I know I have promised you for a while to come on, and I am happy that I'm here today. And I just wanted to let everybody kind of know that I am very excited of this opportunity, not only to work with Mike but and his family, but also just to be back in my hometown. And I grew up in Douglas County, and all of my family is here, and I just knew that it was the place that I needed to be. So I had moved out of state for a little while, but then I came back because I think family's very important, and I want to spend the rest of my life with continuing on what Mike has built and all of the beautiful things that he has created in his time. So thank you, Mike.
Okay, and you're welcome. And let me tell you, she's a very energetic lady. And first thing she did was get into my shop, my tool shop, where we keep tractors and things like that and everything else I've saved for the last 30 years and cleaned it out. And now you can walk and not stumble over anything. And it looks pretty good. I have to compliment her. And we had to get this huge dumpster to throw everything away. It was a huge one. Not your regular dumpster. It's like a 20-footer, you know? Yeah. And she filled it up. So my shop is clean. But at any rate, I wanted to invite her on the show and introduce her to my listening audience. And this is the lady you'll be dealing with. We're still helping at the nursery for a few more months and making sure that Jennifer knows where to get the trees from and where to get the shrubs from and who's the best nursery person and all the... There's so much to know. It's amazing how much there is to know about suppliers and where you get certain products and who grows the best trees and who grows the best shrubs and rhododendrons, et cetera, et cetera, and plus what we grow on our own. We have a greenhouse with about, my daughter Jill has probably 5,000 little plants in there that she's now potting up. That will be saleable in another 6 months to a year. And we do that every year. So Jennifer is finding out the learning the ropes, if you will. Are you learning the ropes?
Maybe just one rope so far.
There's a lot of ropes to learn. But at any rate, we're glad to have her. She's really, really energetic. She has a lot of great ideas. She has some changes in mind to make the nursery her own, and there'll be, I think, an event center we've talked about and a few other things, and maybe you could buy coffee there eventually. So at any rate, this is a gardening show, and maybe Jennifer will want to pipe in and correct me if I make a mistake, and, which I don't mind. I make a lot of mistakes, so... But like I say, if you have a question about your yard, your garden, your lawn, your trees, your shrubs, how to prune, fertilize, mow, whatever, 673-4464 is the number, and we'll get you right on, and you can ask your question, and I will give you the answer. So this time of year, it's still bare root tree season, and that means these trees are less expensive than a potted tree because there's no pot, no labor, no soil, etc. And the potted trees, once we pot them up, they're sold a little bit later in the year after they're fully rooted out. But we still have, trees from other years that ready to go right now. So the bare roots, that's the deal, because they're basically half price of what a potted tree is, same size, etc., because of the lack of materials and labor that's put forth to pot up trees and move them and do it. That once you pot up a big old shade tree, it takes sometimes two people to pick up the pot. It's so heavy. But I got strong people, so most time it's just one guy picking them up, putting them in a tractor bucket and moving them into a spot in the nursery. So, but bare roots are very easy to plant. And they're very easy to haul home because there's no weight to them. You just pick them up, you know. It's like, 4 or 5 pounds, 5, 6 pounds maybe. And the bare root season is going to end sometime in March or whenever the weather starts getting warm and sunny. I mean, warm like 65 degrees day after day, 70 degrees, those kinds of things. And that's when all the leaves are starting to pop up out of the trees everywhere you see. That's when the grass gets growing, and that's when we make sure all of our bare roots are potted and ready to go. But in the interim, if you want a good tree and you want to pay half the price that you would normally pay, a bare root tree is a good thing. And like I say, it's easy. and it's not, these trees are dormant. They haven't pushed any leaves. They're not even budded up. No growth is occurring at all. And at the nursery, we keep the roots covered with sawdust chips so they don't dry out. And we have fruit trees, flowering trees, shade trees. And so you can start your home orchard or decorate the front yard with a flowering cherry or a flowering plum, and then plant a few shade trees in the backyard, and you're done. You're done. You're good to go after that. And there are some easy steps to success with bare root trees. And the number one, don't let the roots dry out. In other words, if you come in, get some bare root trees, you want to put them in your back of your pickup, take them straight home, get them home, cover them with a wet blanket or something until you've decided where you want them, or you're going to dig the holes. But I always recommend that you dig the holes first so that when you do get them home, you've got the holes dug, the soil's ready to go, and all you have to do is transfer them from your car or your pickup truck or something like that and get them in the ground, and they'll be good to go. But those are the easy steps. Don't let the roots dry out. You don't want to do that, so keep them covered. That's very important. And like I said, dig your holes first prior to getting the trees, and have your good soil is ready to go. And that's compost and a little bit of topsoil, maybe some old sawdust. So it's a nice loose soil plus your native ground. Now, if it's heavy clay, what you want to do is break up that heavy clay as much as possible and mix it all together. You might throw some sand in there too, because you want proper drainage. Proper drainage is the key to success when you're planting anything, but especially with bare root trees. And that soil mix, you can buy it in bags. We sell it at the nursery, or you can go to Uncle Sand and Gravel and get some mix, or you can go to Magnolia Farms and get some mix, or the co-op and get some mix. If you need a pickup load or a whole big giant truckload, you can do that. So you just make sure that you mix it well, and when you plant those trees, you can work that soil into the roots so there's no air pockets. You know, gently you're poking down with your hands around the roots, and there's not a lot of roots, but and they're fairly substantial, like, you know, the size of a pencil, that kind of thing. So it's hard to break those roots, but you still want to be gentle because there may be some hair roots coming out, which are as fine as hair. So, but you want that soil to be tight in there, simply because air pockets, if you don't set it in right, and you have an air pocket maybe the size of a baseball, but you didn't see it because it's down under there. Well, July and August roll around, And the trees have been doing really well. And July and August roll around and it's 95 or 100 degrees for 4 or 5 or 6 days in a row. Well, hot air can get in down into the soil and dry out the tree, and unbeknownst to you, no matter what you've been doing, and it could kill the tree. So that's why you don't want to have any air pockets down in there. And then when you've planted them, what we always do is we water them in with vitamin B1, and it settles the soil, and vitamin B1 produces new roots quickly. And that's all it is. It's a root starter. And then if you treat the trees right once a month with B1, then about a gallon of water per serving, and you want to use 2 to 3 tablespoons of B1 per gallon of water. I've used as high as 6 tablespoons just to see if I would get more growth more quickly. It didn't hurt the tree, but I don't know if it had got more more energy or not. But don't water anything in between the doses of vitamin B1, because that's plenty of water in there. And then these newly planted trees will not require any regular fertilizer until about June, maybe, or July. And then very, very lightly. If the directions say, well, you put a handful around each tree, go about a third of a handful, lightly spread evenly on the surface of the ground. Don't try to dig it in. Don't put fertilizer in the hole. Just let the water from your hose or your sprinkler system, let that fertilizer go in naturally and slowly, and you'll be good to go. And you can probably fertilize them one last time in October, just prior to the rainy season starting, and that kind of gives them energy for the fall months. And then what they don't use when they're actively growing, they store. The root systems actually store the food until the time is right the following spring, when the soil warms up, the sun comes out, and the tree roots get active. That's when they start using that fertilizer that you put in the fall. But then again, when they're doing that, you're refertilizing again for the spring. And that just gives the trees a great, great start, and you're good to go. Now, when I said a gallon of water, maybe, once every 2 weeks or once a month, or depending on your soil, you got to make sure that you don't exceed that. You don't want to overwater. I've spoken about overwater on this show 2,000 times. That kills more trees and shrubs than any disease known to man. because what it does, it rots the hair roots. And the hair roots are those roots, the tiny roots that actually take the nutrition from the soil and transmit it up into the tree and into the leaves. And I think we're going to take a break.
Yep, it is that time. Boy, you're getting good at this and you're leaving.
I'm not leaving. I'm not going nowhere.
What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. Any calls or free game?
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. Enough about the hot air balloons.
What else do we have on the agenda? We'll get on with, what's this, a garden? Oh, it's a garden show.
Yeah.
That's right. And if you have a question, 673-4464 or any kind of questions, it's fair game. So, anyway, I was talking about bare root trees and how to take care of them, how to plant them, and how to be successful with them. And these newly planted trees, like I said in the last part, will not require any regular fertilizer until about June or July, And then, it's very lightly. Always go lightly. You can always add more if you discern that it needs more. But just kind of kick back on it. Let it get rooted. Let it get strong on its own, and it will. And do not, how many times have you heard me say this? Do not overwater your new trees or your shrubs or anything that, like that, or you're going to rot the roots and the tree will die. Guarantee. So how do you spot that? Well, you spot it because the leaves might be turning yellow, and you're thinking, why are the leaves turning yellow, or they're crinkling and they're brown on the edges? That's the first indicator that overwater is occurring, okay? Just watch it, look at it, be a partner with it, make sure it lives, okay? And you'll be okay. For potted trees, for potted shrubs, the same recipe for planting is for anything. Potted stuff, bare root stuff, shrubs, junipers, whatever you're going to do. And remember again, the better the soil mix, the better and faster the tree or the shrub will grow. Fertilizer and water on, like I say, the conservative side, because you can always add more if it needs it. And always use top quality fertilizer, not the stuff on sale for $2 a bag, okay? Don't think you're getting a good deal when you say, hey, well, that's really cheap. I'll buy that one rather than the $20 sack. The $20 sack has all the nutrition in it. It's the high quality stuff. It's the difference between a steak and a bologna sandwich. You think about that, okay? I was doing research on apple trees and came upon an article in Mother Earth News. And I was amazed. In the article was a list of 90 varieties of cold climate apple trees. And as I went through the list, I could only identify 9 varieties myself. I found out how much I don't know. 90 varieties? There's one that grows only in Russia in the coldest of all climates, and it does very, very well. It doesn't like warm weather. and why? I have no clue. But do we have a call?
No, but I was saying that's a good place for it, okay. Russia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this tree, it survives in 90 degree below zero weather. I mean, it's like nothing hurts it.
So maybe it'll...
It wouldn't work here. We're too warm.
Maybe it'll fly over China.
Yeah. But apple trees, they grow differently in different places. Geography, climate, soil, all that kind of stuff plays an important part in the health and the productivity of trees. And I've spoken about my father-in-law and his trees in, northeastern California on the Nevada border. It's high desert country, very cold and snowy in the winter, and balmy in the summer, not too many 100-degree days. But the cold weather over there, when it gets cold over there, it stays frozen in the ground for, a couple of weeks at a time. But he produced some of the best apples that I've ever eaten. And he had, I think, 3 trees in his yard. And he did just a great job with them. And I just can't for the life of me remember what varieties they were. But I ate them, and my mother-in-law made great apple pies out of them. So apple trees are just a good all-around tough tree. I've got an apple tree on the end of my property, probably, 500-600 feet from the house. I discovered it by mistake walking up the end of the property one time. And the trunk is probably 2 feet in diameter. And then as you look at the bottom of the trunk, there's a big vacant space where squirrels live. and it looks like half the trunk is missing. And it grows the biggest yellow-green apples I've ever seen. And I've never fertilized it. I pruned it a couple of times years and years ago. But I've never watered it. I've never fertilized it. And I know it's at least 100 years old. I mean, that's how amazing an apple tree can be. And one day I'll get an apple expert out there and say, tell me what kind of tree that is. I've been talking about it for years, but I don't know its name. At any rate, they're really, really tough. What do we got? Something?
No.
Okay.
No,
well,
no,
you,
no, no. I'm
listening. You got your finger on the trigger over there, and I think you're going to a commercial.
My mind is going like this, but I just, it's not air quality.
Okay. Oh gosh! So if you plant a tree and you don't treat it correctly, your harvest could be quite small or none at all, of course. And it's important to select trees that do well in your climate and your soil, which we do at Wintergreen simply because our fruit trees are grown in the Willamette Valley, which is akin to Douglas County. There's a little bit of difference, but not much.
Not much.
No. And so, consequently, I don't buy trees from Oklahoma or New York or Florida.
Arkansas,
any of those places, because you need the right climate, the right adaptability, the right temperatures, the right soil for that particular tree to be productive. And with 90 varieties that I was talking about earlier, some of those varieties are warm season type varieties that they can take a lot of heat, and some of them are just the opposite, where they can take a lot of cold, snowy, ugly weather for, say, 4 to 6 months out of the year before, you know, like maybe Minnesota or Wisconsin or, you know, places like that.
Alaska,
yeah. And they have orchards in those places. I mean, they're, they grow fruit in Alaska. They grow fruit in Wisconsin and Michigan and those places. So, like I said, I've seen these apples, I don't know which varieties again, grown and produce well in the high desert, and I've seen them grow in places that you didn't think anything could grow, but that's how versatile and how tough they are. So if you give it a good soil mix, you give it occasional fertilizer, and don't overwater it, you're going to have a good tree.
Just basically leave it alone.
Leave it alone. Ignore it. Exactly. Because my son years ago took a couple of apple trees way up on my ridge and planted them up there. And he took water up there and everything else and watered them in. And then I forgot about them for a couple of years. And one day I was up on my Kubota four-wheeler thing, and I thought, I wonder if those trees are still alive. And I went up this one little trail, and it's in a steep slope surrounded by madrones and all kinds of stuff. And they were both alive.
they both
had leaves, and nobody's been here in 2 years, and they're growing on this slope. How come? And it was a south-facing slope, so they had plenty of sun, even though they were surrounded by natural vegetation. There was at least filtered sun that was coming in there.
That's probably what they needed.
Exactly. Because they said, nobody's here to water us, nobody here to feed us. What do I want to do, you know? But having said that, the hardiness of apple trees or any fruit tree is a sure thing here in Douglas County in southwest Oregon. I don't know how well they do like in Coos Bay or, you know,
real
near the coast.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll grow, but I don't know how productive it is because I've never seen any apple orchards on the Oregon coast.
I just see a bunch of weeds.
But. Yeah.
and sorry, coast folks.
And what's that? I was going to say sagebrush, but it ain't. It's those big wild coast bushes.
Yeah.
You know. But you see them inland, and you see them in eastern parts of the state, and they do really well. So I think it's they need some warmth, they need some sun, you know, some consistent sun, and you don't quite get that on the Oregon coast.
No, maybe one or two days a year
in a row, even.
Yeah.
So that's how that works. But you know, we have rain in the winter, and usually it's a very nice spring, and it's coupled with a warm, sunny summer lasting almost, you know, into October, for crying out loud. Last summer, I think it was warm clear into the end of October last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a little bit abnormal, but that's what our weather pattern seems to.
Climate change.
Oh, yeah, climate change. That's what you call it. Yeah, I see. Now, there are some bug problems and maybe an occasional late frost, but the biggest challenge in our improper planting in clay soil, overwatering, lack of fertilizer on a regular schedule. And if you correct those three items, you're good to go. It's going to work for you, and it doesn't.
Nice.
And when the tree gets a little more mature, it's been in the ground say 3 or 4 years. You start pruning the top so that you get the tree to spread, and you're creating bearing branches, because the new growth in each spring will not bear fruit. it won't bear fruit till the second year, if then. So to conserve the energy of the tree and to increase the productivity of the tree, and this is for any fruit tree, is you want to prune the new stuff off and make the growth go more horizontally. And the best way you can see this is go out to Garden Valley, look at Cruz Farms and how they prune their very large trees. Mm-hmm. They're only maybe 9-10 feet tall, but they're 15 to 18 feet wide and they're spread, and that's how they produce the volume of fruit, whether it's a cherry, an apple, a pear, a peach, they're all basically pruned that same way. And it's also easier to pick the fruit when they're on a horizontal plane, and you don't have to climb 20 feet into a tree to get it,
because and fight all those suckers and everything else.
The suckers are gone. It's open so that the sunlight and the air circulation is beneficial to the ripening of the fruit in a very orderly fashion. I guess that would be it. You don't have a ripe apple or a ripe peach on one branch and one that's hard as a rock on another branch that way, when it's all full of a lot of twigs and suckers and all that kind of stuff.
So right.
That's your best indicator. That's your best. I'm good when I see a picture of something, or if I see something that is natural and I say, I wonder why they did that. And this is years ago, but then I learned why they did that, and so consequently that's how I treat my trees, and they love it.
It works.
Jennifer, you're sitting there very quietly. Do you have anything to add to the conversation? I didn't want to put you on the spot or anything.
Oh, no, you love to put me on the spot. No, I've been doing a lot of pruning, and it's a joy, and it's such an important thing to do to, control production or increase production of the fruit. And so, no, that's it. You pretty much covered it, Mike.
Well, thank you, Bam. Thank you. You're learning very quickly. I like that. You're going to be a real success at Wintergreen, I can tell. So, having said that all,
well, this would be a good time for a break.
Okay, good break time, and we'll be back.
And once again, I know you know the phone number.
673-4464. Call with a question. Don't hesitate. Don't be shy.
Nah. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right. Obviously, we are back on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show at 4:38, and we're looking at 50 degrees.
I know, and it's sunny and it's nice. It almost feels like a spring day. It's amazing.
What do they call it? Fake spring.
Fake spring? Is fake spring? You mean we get snow next week or the week after?
The week after.
Okay, good. I hope everything's in bloom then, so the snow can break it off.
Armageddon coming back.
Geez Louise.
Snow.
Anyway, I'll get off that one. I don't want no snow now because it's been too stinking cold for about the last 3 months too. But anyway, I was talking about planting bare root trees or any tree or any shrub, but clay soil is basically what Douglas County is full of. Everywhere you dig, you'll find clay, except along the riverbanks, where you might have some topsoil and some rock. But clay soil is chock full of nutrition. I mean, mainly because it doesn't drain well. So the nutrition, the nutrients within the soil are there. So it's, but when you, this leads to overwatering, of course, if you don't amend your soil. And of course, too much water in the root system excludes the oxygen, leads to root rot, and no roots, tree dies. Simple as that. We've already been over that 300 times. But this is why I recommend mixing the compost, sand into your planting mix. And if you want to leave some clay in your planting hole, that's okay. But make sure that you chop it up and mix it well with your new soil that you're going to add, because you'll get the nutrition and the nutrients that are already in the clay will help your tree. But if you just dig a hole in a yard and put a bare root tree or any tree, and then throw that clay back in and then stomp it flat so the tree stays straight, the tree is not going to do very well, or the shrub or flower, whatever you're planting. It won't work. So you have to amend that soil. Now, fortunately, there are some places in Douglas County that have good topsoil. I'm fortunate in at the nursery, I've got 8 acres. Well, Jennifer has now 8 acres, that the topsoil is actually 20 feet deep.
Wow.
And it's 20 feet deep all the way down. Beautiful, beautiful soil before you hit rock.
Nice.
And when you hit the rock, it's the bar run stuff, and there's water running through it.
Perfect.
So, yeah, it is perfect, right. And that's why it's been so productive in anything we grow out there. We put in the field trees. You could put a seedling tree in that's, say, 18 inches tall, and in 2 years it's 6 feet.
Is that? Wow.
Yeah, without a whole lot of...
Who needs fertilizer?
Well, I do fertilize them, but lightly.
Burn them out.
But if you put too much fertilizer, you get a lot of weeds, and then you got to clean the stinking weeds.
Oh, they like it, too.
I know, they like it, too. But, you know, mix it really well. That's where your success is going to come from. And it doesn't matter if it's a juniper, which is tough and grows out of rocks, for crying out loud. The better start you give it, the better it's going to produce, the better it's going to grow, and the healthier it's going to be. In case it gets invaded by a bug or a virus or something like that, it has the wherewithal to fight it off and not die. And as you drive around Douglas County in the summertime or spring or something like that, you can see just casual driving through neighborhoods where you'll see some shrubs not doing so well. Well, it's usually because they did not amend the soil properly. And there's either too much drainage or not enough.
No.
And that's why you want to do that happy medium and make sure that the new feeder roots can get established quickly and give your plant a head start. It's real simple. And like I said earlier, water only to settle the soil and eliminate all the air pockets. And then when you're pouring your B1. B1, Liquinox product, that's what it's called, Liquinox. It comes in a big blue jug. We sell it by the quart, by the gallon, by the pint. Depends on, what anybody, and it works on all shrubs, all trees, all plants, flowers.
So it's not particular.
No, it's not particular. And like I say, it's just a super shot of vitamin B1. That's all it is. There's nothing else in it. And... but it really, really works. I told you about my back in the old days when the dump was rescuing a bare root tree in the middle of April or May that was laying with his roots bare in the dump. And I felt sorry for it, so I took it home and up on Leland Street and dug my hole, put it in there, and I gave it B1 once a week. And nothing. And then 2 months later, all of a sudden, boom, it flowered.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was gorgeous. It was a Kwanson flowering cherry. Hot, really beautiful pink, double pink, rosy looking flowers. And when I got it out of the dump, that's what it was called in those days, it was maybe eight feet tall and... maybe 3/4 inch in diameter. And today, if I took you and showed you the tree, it's probably 30 feet tall and, probably a 10 to 12 inch diameter.
My gosh.
So, yeah. So that's what B1
I bet it produced good cherries.
Well, it's a flowering cherry.
Oh, it's flowering. Yeah. That was the cue.
Yeah, flowering cherry.
Darn. I was getting hungry.
I know, but cherries are a tough tree.
They are.
They really are.
And they can survive my dad. They're a tough tree.
There you go. But normally most fruit trees are very tough. They're, I don't know, it's part of their genetics. they're just very tough. And if you have a question about how damp the soil is, stop and dig down with your hands into the soil next to the tree. And if it feels damp, it's good. If it feels dry, water it. If it feels soaky, ignore it for 2 months, for crying out loud, so that soil that's in there will dry out and the tree will
be able to use it or whatever.
Exactly, exactly. You haven't rotted too many roots off at that point. Yeah. But the finger check is the best one. It, you can stick one of those probes, you know, they have these probes and say, oh, yeah, they work for a while, but they're not long lasting.
So you kind of a waste of money.
You can't trust. Exactly. You can't trust them. I've tried them out. I thought, let's see how dry this is or how wet this is. And I go, okay.
I'll stick my finger in there.
Exactly. Feel the soil. Feel the soil, and if it's damp, you can dig down a little bit more because it's loose soil because you made a nice mix. And the deeper you get, you'll find that the more moisture is in that soil. So you're good to go. Mm-hmm. Nothing is necessary. Nothing will improve. Okay, then that's the first year. Okay, the second year. In the ground, you want to water deep maybe once a month at the most, only in the summer, you know, and I'm talking June, you know, give it a good deep soak, and then July, a month later, another deep soak, same way with August and maybe September, depending on the temperature, depending on how the summer was.
August is usually hot.
Yeah, yeah. And what you'll see the growth of the tree. I mean, as you get used to having the tree in your yard, and if you pay attention to it at all, you'll see, hey, the leaves look good, they're growing, it's green, it looks vigorous, you're doing a good job. If you see that some of the leaves are turning yellow on the ends and kind of getting crinkly and maybe turning brown, that is the first indicator of overwater.
Oh, okay.
So it's easy to know. And but if they're growing, hey, you're doing whatever you're doing is right. And then the second and third years and on, you pretty much can leave it alone. One thing I don't recommend is that you plant a fruit tree in your lawn, and because especially if you have a sprinkler system. But if you it anyway, make sure you mound up that tree. At least, make a creative mound that is about 2 feet tall and maybe 6 or 8 feet in diameter, and you put the tree in the middle at the highest point so it has good drainage all the time in case you got a sprinkler system and you're turning on the sprinkler system twice a week or whatever, and it's watering the grass. You might be putting a lot of water on it, but since it's mounded, that water's going to drain away. So you're safe. Some will stay.
But it ain't going to hurt it.
No, it's not going to kill it. It's not going to rot any roots that way. So those are, and like I say, if you water properly, as the root system develops and the moisture level drops, the roots will follow the moisture.
That makes sense.
They will follow the moisture. And so consequently, in 2 to 3 years, you're not even, if you got a ranch or a big lot or something like that, you're not going to be irrigating. You're not going to be watering it. And look at the commercial orchards again. They don't irrigate in the summer.
No, okay.
They don't. There's no sprinkler systems in there. Maybe on grapes, but not on fruit trees. But as you drive around, you're driving in Garden Valley and see for yourself. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up, really. So, because I want everybody listening to this show to be successful with what they do in their yard. That's the bottom line here, to be successful at whatever you plant and make sure that... Don't waste your money. Get your best bang for the buck, and you've got a beautiful place to work with.
Well, it's about break time.
Break time already? Okay, break it.
You know that poor cherry tree I was just mentioning a few minutes back?
Yeah.
Dad tried everything to kill that thing. It just kept growing and growing and producing cherry. So one day he got really mad at it, got his chainsaw and cut it down. So no more cherry tree.
Why would he get mad at a tree?
It was in his way.
Oh. Okay. I'm glad your dad ain't in here with his chainsaw.
I was in his way a few times, too. But anyway, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Believe it or not, Mike, we're already in the final segment of today.
Well, how many minutes I got on the final segment? I can't see the clock.
It looks like about 7.
Okay, because I got 12 more pages of notes here that I have to get out. And
Jennifer's wanting to say something.
Oh, yeah. Jennifer, what did you want to say?
I'm enjoying myself thoroughly. Thank you for having me on the show, Mike.
Well, I'm glad you're learning. And also, when you come back, you'll have more to share with the audience on about what you're doing. And what's this about an event center?
Well, it's not a center quite yet, but our event garden is open and ready for taking reservations, and we'll be taking them May 1st and on until the end of September. So I did want to mention that.
Okay, you mentioned it. You got a free commercial on my show.
And did I hear that you're going to invite me back?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Boy, she's so insistent.
Yeah.
Yes, she's going to be invited back. I enjoy Jennifer. She's a real hands-on go-getter, and I know she's in good, Wintergreen is in good hands with Jennifer. And that's the highest compliment I can give you, ma'am. So, don't cry now. That's okay.
I was going to say, don't, not here.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I lost my place, but I was talking about the trees, et cetera. Now I'm going to go to the shrubs and the shallow-rooted shrubs and plants. They need a bit more regular water because they are shallow, so the heat of a day in the summer gets down into the root system a bit more quickly. And I'm talking rhodies, azaleas. Those are surface rooters, so their roots are very, very close. I mean, some of them go down, but a lot of the feeder roots are, you know, within 2 or 3 inches of the surface of the earth. Perennials are another thing. And spring flowers, you know, all those cute geraniums and things you buy and they're in a 4-inch pot and you go home and you plant them. You don't want to soak them every day, but you might have to do it, you know, a couple times a week just to make sure that they stay alive. And once they get going, they're good. They're you can, you know, kick back on the water a little bit. In fact, one geranium I planted at a local bank in Winston, I think 5 or 6 years ago, it had a variegated leaf, light green, dark green, and kind of splotchy. And it had a beautiful, I think, orange flower, if I recall. And I thought, well, this'll kind of jazz up the entryway a little bit. And it did. It bloomed well. And it died down. It was cold. It died down in the winter. And I thought, well, that was a good try. Well, the following spring, I came back, and it was twice the size. It had came back from the roots and was twice the size it was the previous year. Now that puppy is probably 3 feet wide and 2 feet tall, and looks like a monster. It's great. It's beautiful. So even perennials, if you treat them right, they can come back before you even know it.
Wow.
And I've been meaning to take cuttings from it, but I keep forgetting, you know, or I don't have my pruners with me when I go to the bank, and they wouldn't say anything.
They might not let you in the bank.
Well, it's a bank that I landscaped and maintained,
so they
were regulars there, if you will. they just come out and say, "What are you doing, Mike? You're cutting our bushes down." And I said, no, just trimming this up. Anyway, but those plants with shallow root systems, they need a bit more water because they are surface rooters. And again, you don't soak them, you don't drown them, but you give them sufficient to continue and be healthy. And another thing, if you top dress your plants with, say, 4 inches of bark mulch or less, then you're not as much watering is needed, because the bark mulch, it may be dry and brown on top, but again, if you dig down an inch or two, it's still damp, it's still cool. So, and plus, it's good organic material, and in time breaks down and actually feeds the plants that it's surrounding. So that's a good deal. And so it's good for the watering, it's good for the nutrition, and those kinds of things. Now, I have test plants on my own property at my house, and by monitoring their growth for several years, I learned through trial, by stressing plants on purpose, how hardy they are. And I said, well, like those apple trees I was telling you about earlier,
they
weren't watered for 3 years and they're still alive.
You forgot about them.
Yeah, I forgot about them, totally. And it's hard to get to because it's so steep up there. But, you know, it's amazing how self-sufficient these plants are. Years ago, I planted one St. John's wort down the end of my field. A St. John's wort is a small ground cover, grows about a foot tall, has a bright yellow flower on it, and it spreads. So I planted one. It was in a 4-inch pot, just one, and it was kind of in a partial shady situation, but I was doing an experiment, and so I just put it in the natural ground, but the natural ground down in the field is good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So I just put it in and I watered it once. I think that was 20 plus years ago, maybe 25 years ago.
It's still there?
Well, that one plant has spread about 40 feet in every direction.
Oh, my.
And it takes up, the patch of St. John's wort that came from that one plant is at least 40 feet long and, a good 20 feet wide.
Jeez.
Because there's other myrtle trees blocking its width.
Okay.
And that's how tough they are.
Mm. Aren't they supposed to be good for depression or something?
Depression?
Yeah.
I've never eaten one. I don't know.
I see them on the shelves.
Well, yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. I wouldn't eat them raw out of the ground.
No. Boil that sucker up.
Yeah, boil it up and drink the juice. See what happens. Hey, that's pretty good stuff. What do you think? Let's sell it. Okay.
Put a little sugar in it.
Put some sugar in it. It'll taste good. But all these test plots of plants I've done and just to monitor their growth. Some I take care of and some I don't on purpose, just to see what the difference is in care versus no care. And basically there's very little difference other than maybe coloration of leaves or the types of flowers or the amount of flowers or the color of the flowers. Are we done?
We're done.
Well, thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week, same time, same station.
Nice meeting you, Jennifer.
And Jennifer.
Thank you very much. Nice meeting you, too.
Thank you. All right, the Afternoon Report is next on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.